Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Saturday AM Live. Vance Rogers coming to you with Dennis Williams. Dennis, I'm going to do my best not to get emotional because our friendship spans back a long, long time. And I still have to pinch myself today to think that I almost missed this. I almost missed you introducing me to Nikan. I almost missed investing in these amazing solutions, and I almost missed living the life that we get to live had I not said yes. So up front, I want to say thank you.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
And I know you guys, you and Ruth almost missed this.
That's right.
And because you could have just said no or that, you know, just like any technology, like grounding or earthing. We think, oh, come on, that just sounds a little too far-fetched.
Yeah, we almost, I think a lot of people almost miss it, you know, because when they first hear about it, you know, they'd never heard about it. And they're skeptical, and some people just never do get it, and it's not sad. But we're sure fortunate after 6 months of telling them we weren't interested that he came back and was hard of hearing and came back one more time because... That's what it took, I guess. It was a divine intervention there for sure.
And is it safe to say, I want to jump right into the topic of heart healthy. This is one of those things, and I did a little bit more research on my own family genes and found out that literally just up the road from us, and I didn't know this until a few weeks ago, that my own grandfather, he had a heart attack. And I want to say up front, we're not making any medical claims of what Nikan's products can or cannot do. We're just simply sharing some stories here. But being heart healthy, my grandfather at age of 60, my mom's dad, had his first heart attack at 60, made some changes in his lifestyle, and 6 years later, just up the road, at one of our local camps here, out for a morning walk, had a massive heart attack and passed away. And later, from what I learned just a few weeks ago, that his doctor told my grandmother that last 6 years of his life were on borrowed time because the damage was already done based on his lifestyle, and maybe it was in the genes, I'm not quite sure. But Dennis, I know for you, heart healthy has been a focal point of your life for a long time. Take us back and answer the question, why?
Yeah, I never thought too much about it when I was younger. You know, like a lot of people, I just ate what I wanted to eat and did what I wanted to do and never thought too much about it until my father passed away, and he was only 51 years old, and he wasn't overweight or anything, and he was out jogging like he often did, and my mom went with him one morning, where she usually didn't go, and so I'm going to go one more lap around the track. She started out and heard a thud, and he dropped dead on the grass behind him, you know. And that kind of really shocked me because he was only, like I said, 51 years old. So anyway, as time went on, and we were in Vienna, Austria one time at a convention, and my younger brother was with us, and he was 34, and I was 37, and he died while we were there. And that really cut to me. And my uncle, that my dad's brother, was almost like a brother to me, because he was lived with us when he got out of the service for a while. He'd go hunting with him all the time, and he passed away at 56. And you know, their first symptom was death, and it really got me scared, especially when I was my dad's age. When I got 51, I thought, oh my gosh, you know, this is the age my dad passed away. And so I went in and did a stress test, and they stopped it. And they said, you're not getting enough oxygen to part of your heart. And I thought, oh my gosh. So they did an angiogram and said, well, we need to do an angioplasty. And I'd read about that. I mean, I'd heard about that. And you can take that angioplasty and break open the clots and stuff. But it's kind of like breaking up a traffic jam on the freeway with a snowplow. that's true. I mean, you can make a hole through there, but you got junk flying everywhere. So I thought, I don't like that idea. So I thought, well, I'm going to do some chelation therapy. So I started doing that, you know. But I was traveling a lot back in those days, and I didn't have time to go go there three times a week or whatever it was they wanted me to do. So I spread it out over a long period of time, and I thought, well, maybe it'll do some good. And so then when I was 54, I was back in St. Louis, Missouri, and on a weekend trip, and I started feeling symptoms, you know, numbness under my jaw and stuff, and discomfort in my shoulders. And I thought, well, I probably got acid reflux, which I'd never had in my life. And I should have gone to the doctor, but I didn't. And I had a back flex with me, a weekend back flex, and I flopped out on my chest underneath my shirt. And as long as I kind of kept it there, the symptoms subsided. So I should have gone home, but I went to Dallas, Texas, and did some meetings there, but I was really feeling pretty bad. Finally, I got home, and I didn't say too much to Ruth about it. Went to bed, and the next day was my birthday, my 54th birthday, I guess it was then. And so I had to go see the doctor. So I went to the clinic there in the island and took my back flex off. I didn't want to wear it in the doctor's office and laid it down in the seat of my truck. And went in there, and they wired me up, and they said, well, this is not normal. And I went, oh, my gosh. So they gave me some nitroglycerin, and I put them under my tongue, and they put me into shock. My blood pressure just plummeted to 80 over 50, and my hands were so sweaty. I put them on my jeans, and you could see my handprints, you know. And the doctor got scared. He called 911, and the ambulance came and got me. They hauled me off to the ferry dock. They had the ferry wait for us and took me over to the Highline Hospital in Burien. I'm laying there in the emergency room, and they wired me back up. And said, well, your EKG is significantly different than it was from the one you brought over from the island. And I thought, oh, I must be getting better. He said, you're having a heart attack right now. I thought, right now? He said, yes. Yeah. So what do we do? He said, well, it's Saturday. There's not a lot of people here, but we got this experimental thrombolytic we can inject into you and stop the, and there's a chance it'll, you know, stop the, that you dissolve the clot and stop the heart attack, and there's also a chance to cause a stroke in your brain. And, you know, I didn't have too many options. I signed the paper, and they did an angiogram, and I saw the picture, and everywhere that my arteries made a bend, it looked like you put a string around it and cinched them up. And anyway, a few days later, they transported me to Providence Hospital in Seattle, and I ended up having about 6 bypasses. Anyway, I came out of there, and I was pretty good for about 14 years, And then I started getting those symptoms again when I was actually in Cancun on another weekend trip. So I got back home and made an appointment with a cardiologist on a Tuesday and told him my symptoms. He said, well, that sounds worrisome. I said, well, that's why I'm here. He said, well, we'll do an angiogram on Friday. So anyway, Thursday morning, I woke up really early, and it's a long story. I got to the hospital. It was miraculous how I got there. Some more divine intervention happened there. But I got to the hospital. I'm laying there, and they wired me up, and they're undressing me to put the leads on me. And I still had the back flex on my chest that time, too, because every time I felt those symptoms, I just kept that back flex on all the time, and it, you know, helped them subside. And the guy lifted off my chest. He said, what's this? I said, what's to keep my blood circulating? He kind of shrugged his shoulders and threw it in the bag with my clothes. They wired me up. He said, well, you're not having a heart attack. I thought, well, good. I missed a day early for my angiogram. So I called Ruth, and she and one of my son-in-laws was on the way over from the island, and I told them, I'm not having a heart attack. I'll see you when you get here. Laid the phone down. 5 minutes later, there was a flurry of activity around me, and this nurse started gluing defibrillator pads on my chest. Well, I knew that wasn't a good sign. I said, if you have to use those, does it hurt? She said, yes, and they started to move me, and that's the last thing I remember. Then when Ruth got there, she asked for me, and they said, well, you have to see the social nurse. Social nurse? So they took her in a private room, and social nurse said, well, you know, I'm sorry you can't see him right now because we're working on him. And Ruth said, what do you mean working on him? He said, well, his heart stopped and we're trying to get it started. And they were just pounding on my chest in there. You know, I don't know what else going on because I just didn't know anything. Anyway, it turned out eventually they obviously got a heartbeat, and the cardiologist showed up and did a catheterization, siphoned the clot out of the vein graft. The vein graft that was put in there 14 years earlier had plugged up. And so they siphoned the clot out of there, put 3 stents in there, but I was in ICU for like 5 days. Anyway, I had a ventilator down my throat, and I'd wake up once in a while and hated that ventilator down in my head, the tape around my mouth and everything. Anyway, the night before they were going to take me out of there, Ruth said, can you get that ventilator out of his throat? You just hate that in there. And they said, well, you can't do that till the swelling goes down in his neck. I guess I was all puffed up, ballooned up everywhere. So Ruth had a strip of cloth with the little pockets in it. You've probably seen those. We put the little super minis in there and power chips. And she wrapped about 6 of those in that little pocket and wrapped it around my neck with Velcro that night, my big puffed up swollen neck. And the next morning, the nurses came in, and my neck was down to normal. It just sounded like that. And they could hardly believe it. And they took me in the recovery area, and And then they were asking me, well, how's your sore throat? I don't have a sore throat. Well, most people can't even swallow after that. Ventilator down there for 5 days like you have, and well, I don't have a sore throat. And then every day, then I woke up, that Ruth had bank steps in my socks, and the Nikan Comforter over the top of me, and was bringing me Pimac water to drink, and some Nikan Nutritionals and stuff, and, you know, giving them to me in the hospital there. And every day they'd check on me. The doctor kept saying, Dan, if you're recovering faster than anybody we've ever seen. And anyway, I was in there for a while and got out and went home, and they insisted on sending out a home health nurse and one day and a physical therapist another day, and each made one trip and then decided it didn't need to see me anymore. And anyway, I recovered really, really well from that, and I've been going in. I went in about a year ago, I guess a year and a half ago. I felt like I was kind of having some symptoms again a little bit, and, you know, I'd get nervous about it because it's been since 2010, that second one happened in 2010. And so I thought, well, I better go check, and maybe that vein graft plugged up again or something. Went in and they did the blood test as well. It doesn't show you anything, no problem. And they did a nuclear scan, I guess it was they call it, the next day. And then I stayed overnight there, and then he says, the doctor came in and said, well, we haven't read the results yet, but one of two things will happen. We'll either send you home, or we'll call the heart doctor. Oh my, here we go again. So anyway, he comes in and he says, hey, he said, if it wasn't for the scar tissue from your bypass surgery back in 1996, so you'd be 100% good. Wow. And they sent me home, and boy, I really started being really careful about what I ate, and started going to exercising a lot more, and doing all the things I'm supposed to. And just a couple of days ago, I went back for my annual checkup with the cardiologist, and he just said, everything is great. You know, all your lipids are perfect, and everything, blood pressure and heart, EKG, anything. He said, I'll see you next year. So anyway, I owe my life to those back flexors, because I know for a fact if I hadn't had those with me, I wouldn't be here. And then all the nutritionals and everything like that. You know, like I said, my dad, my brother, and my uncle, their first symptom was death. And at least I had some symptoms that I could, do something about, and it kept me going until I got to what I needed to have. So I'm just really feel blessed to have these technologies, and we use everything, and we just can't say enough about the benefits. And I've outlived every guy in our family now, and I feel like I got a lot more life left and a lot more things to do.
Well, and Dennis, for the record, you are, I believe, the same age as my parents. 70?
Yeah, about 76.
76 right now. And, you know, there were two thoughts that, as you're sharing these, you know, these details from your journey, I encountered a gentleman the other, just a few days ago, who's 44. I'm a volunteer firefighter, and this time of year, it really starts ramping up in the scenic area where we live, and we've got a lot of beautiful trails. We've got the second largest year-round running waterfall here in the United States, and it's a mile and a quarter paved trail up to the top. And this gentleman, his name has happened to be the same as my brother, my older brother, Spence, mile up the trail, same symptom. it's death is approaching, as you said. You know, that's the only symptom, the only clear warning. Anyways, we got him down the trail, and I my job was tasked that evening was just to help to land the, not just but help land the helicopter to get him the 6 minute journey from wheels up to wheels down, instead of the, at that time of evening with traffic and everything, almost an hour in an ambulance, and rushed him in emergency surgery. And he actually called our assistant chief the next day to thank us for what we did. But I'll never forget that image as I, you know, was given the 1-2-3 count to move him over to the life flight gurney, and him screaming, just absolutely, here's a grown man screaming and holding his chest, and his wife is in tears, and she's trying to reassure him, and I'm thinking, This gentleman had no, and he told our assistant chief, and I said, no warning whatsoever. No, you know, a little bit overweight, and I'm sure there's things he probably could have done differently physically. But you're, you know, going back to 1996, you're talking 23 years ago when you, you know, when it first told it. And using simple solutions, now, most of us in Nikan would never suggest, hey, if something drastic happens, just stick a Nikan on it, you know, as we used to say.
Yeah.
But At the same time, how many times have I got the hiccups and I'm driving and I reach down carefully and pull out an insole and put it on my stomach, and a few seconds later the hiccups go away?
Yeah, just like a, just, you know, an emergency measure that you need until you get what you need, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. And, you know, the other evening I got woken up in the middle of the night, 81-year-old gal, and as we're trying to get her, you know, transported into the ambulance and moved, and we're talking to the husband, he said, oh, they keep sending her home for this, that, and the other. 81, so that's only 5 years older than you are, 12 different medications.
Uh-huh.
And that's common. You know, Roger Drummer and Herb Rapp talk about people who they don't know any better, so this is normal for them, that when they start having an issue, they run to the doctor, they run to the family physician, and rather than taking matters into our own hands and doing some common sense thing, and again, I want to be careful in how I say this, because Western medicine has been wonderful. There's a time when medication and surgeries are absolutely necessary. However, you're a perfect example of living a life of heart healthy. You know, if you, I know, because our family is very much like yours, we utilize the core nutritional on a regular basis. And someone might say, well, it costs a lot. Well, it costs a lot to eat healthy. Well, death isn't cheap either. The last time I was, you know, with the family, and I don't mean to make light of this, but funeral expenses and, you know, all that stuff, that's not cheap either. And so, and if you want to live a great life, a little bit of investment on a regular basis. The core nutritionals with Nikan, how valuable are they for the money outlays?
Yeah, absolutely critical. You know, I mean, most people, you know, they spend all their money at the end trying to stay alive and stay, you know, in nursing homes or whatever. And, you know, I'd rather just be able to. You know, my theory is I take a lot of stuff. I take all the Nikan stuff and everything, and you know, and I feel great. And I kind of always think, you know, may I never know what I'm preventing. I just kind of give my body a smorgasbord and let it pick and choose what it needs. And if it's not there, they can't choose it. And so I'm no expert on a lot of nutrition and all that kind of stuff. And I know Nikan has great products, and they're good for our body. And we just use them all and just have faith that our cells know what's going on, and they'll pick and choose what they need. And it's to me, that's a very small price to pay for never knowing what you're going to prevent and staying healthy and live a long, healthy life.
And the water, you and I got to see, physical therapist, I think she is, Peggy Goodman, demonstrate just a few weeks ago how the Nikan water literally absorbs into the body, into the cellular structure, 3 times greater than anything else that's available.
Remember that demonstration? As it was, you know, what percentage of this water will your body absorb when you do the muscle testing? Remember that?
I was dumbfounded, especially because Debbie Davis, who is a massage therapist, really takes care of her body.
Yeah.
You think that she would be, you know, almost perfect, so to speak.
Yeah.
And we got to see with our own eyes, watch her become so much stronger just by adding the water versus the tap water. The sleep system, you know, all the magnetic products. I remember years
everything,
ago, right? You know,
everything, you know, like everything is synergistic that we have. They all work with each other. And you know, we don't know what one thing might do. And I remember a family that came up. You heard me tell the story real quick. We had a family come up and stay with us, and then they slept in our guest room on Vashon there and got all these wonderful product results overnight. They went back home, bought everything, and they had a grandson that lived there in Fountain Valley, California, and he was only 4 years old, and he'd been in a car accident when he was 18 months. And he was having an average of 3 seizures every day. And he was 4 years old and wasn't even speaking. He was 4. And some of the seizures were so severe they had to resuscitate him. And then the mother was having migraines all the time. Well, because of her parents' experience in our home in Vashon, they went over to Nikan and bought everything. created a wellness home for themselves. And 3 weeks later, got a phone call from that young mother and said she didn't know what did what, because they're using everything, the water, the air, the sleep systems, you know, nutrition, everything. But in 3 weeks, being in that wellness home environment, that self-care sanctuary, if you will, in their home, it was just like you flipped the light switch and shut her son's seizures off, and he started to talk, and her migraines went away. You know, and everything works together. Well, every family that knew that family said, what happened? What happened? What did you do? And she was a stay-at-home mom. She wasn't trying to actually do a business, and she just kept telling, well, we got all these technologies and created this environment for our family to live in, and this is what, that's the only thing that we did differently after 4 years, you know. And anyway, all these families wanted the same thing, so she was sending them over to T10, and they're all buying wellness homes, and she told so many people about it and created so much business for NECAM that they sent her a real nice thank you check the third month for over $10,000. So, you know, it was just, like I said, you know, build this self-care sanctuary for your family. It's like building a greenhouse around your family, and may you never know what you're preventing. Just live in that healthy environment. Drink the water, sleep on the sleep system, use the technologies, put the insoles in your shoes, and just live a healthy, happy life.
And for a lot of folks that think, well, I can't afford that. Well, I'd have to, again, I just have to look at the last week of the two different medical calls that I was part of. Well, how can you afford not to?
I know.
That's right. I mean, Benjamin Franklin said it best, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. If we'll, yep, we'll make some changes and make an investment into our health, it drastically changes everything. And, you know, I keep thinking about all these different things we've learned over the years to be heart healthy, to really give our heart. And I know weight is a huge factor, especially in our country, and that our hearts, for every pound we carry extra, is our hearts are required to pump an extra mile through veins and arteries. So, you know, when someone says, well, I'm only carrying an extra 20 or 30 pounds, well, that, you know, 20 pounds times 7, that's, you know, an extra 140 miles.
Yeah.
That our, and our heart doesn't change in size.
It's right.
And so being
prepared.
Yeah, and so, you know, the Kenzen Vital Balance and the Cleanse and Detox, and we got all these simple solutions, and I love the fact that I was on the phone yesterday with one of our customers who had called me a few days ago and said, Vance, is it normal for, he said, I've been on blood pressure medication for 15 years now, ever since my heart attack. And he said, I can't figure out, I haven't changed anything in the last few weeks. All I've been doing is a few minutes a day, and then at night we put this, you know, this grounding mat down at the feet of our bed. Is it normal for blood pressure to go down? And I immediately said right back to him, well, Gary, are you asking, is it normal for my body to normalize itself when I expose it to an earth solution? I said, I don't know. I guess so. I don't.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you just use everything and let your body figure it out.
And live another day, live another year, live another decade. We don't really control that. That's ultimately up to God. And that's what our assistant chief said to me. I thought was quite interesting. And I'll finish with this. He said, Vance, obviously this 44-year-old man, his time was not done. God wasn't finished with him yet. And I said, well, and hopefully he'll make some changes.
Yeah,
hopefully.
That's exactly. You know, I mean, you just realize how fragile life is, you know, when you're just one heartbeat away from not being here. And I was just so grateful that I happened to be in that emergency room when my heart stopped, because if I'd have been anywhere else, I wouldn't be talking to you.
Yeah, and I'm grateful. Our family is grateful. And I know that you being our first ever house guest when we, just a week after, that was back in 1997,
yeah.
And I remember you saying, wow, this is not a bad starter home, man. We can really bless you. And we're still enjoying that starter home.
Absolutely.
It's been such a huge blessing. And all we've really done is done exactly what you said, to use the products and share them with people and keep sharing with people. And some will listen, some won't. And it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
We, We just go forward. So, Dennis, thank you so much for,
well, you're
for
welcome,
sharing your story. And I hope all of us who are listening, maybe we shot, I shot a couple, two people, actually, while we've been conversing, and then I thought, as soon as we're done with this conversation, I'm going to go on to SaturdayAMLive.com, go into the 2019 recordings, give Steve a few minutes to get it posted, but we can forward this on to people and say, hey, I thought of you when I was listening to this gentleman talk about heart healthy issues and sharing his story. And you know, maybe they'll hear it, maybe they won't, but at least our job is really to just share the information and share stories like this. So I want to encourage you to take advantage of that.
Yeah,
and
that's what we're educators, and it's our job to educate, it's their job to decide.
Yes, so Dennis Williams has been our guest again this morning, and I hope and I pray that the information you've heard has been beneficial. Again, I'll just throw it out here. We don't make any medical claims. We never have. Ruth Williams, Dennis's wife, taught me years ago that we just get a lot of coincidences when we use these wonderful products. And I seem to see them all the time, and when we use them, we, you know, get results. And our family has truly enjoyed it, and I'm watching three beautiful girls navigate life and make some decisions, and a lot of them are based on how Nikan has skewed us to that side of thinking, which I like that. I really do. So, want to wish everybody a great weekend, and thanks for tuning in, and we'll open up the lines here in a couple seconds.